Welcome to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Knowing that ultimately it's God who does the healing, Dr. Medici acts as the maestro, orchestrating a person's health through right timing and right therapies, using traditional, natural, alternative, and spiritual practices. Dr. Medici says it's time for people to wake up to their innate potential to heal and to be given a doctor who can orchestrate that healing. Dr. Medici is currently working toward his PhD in biochemistry at Long Beach University and is a licensed chiropractor with additional study in acupuncture, kinesiology, and quantum medicine. He's the curriculum director of the Santa Monica Shiatsu School and the clinic director at the Premier Center in Santa Monica, where he treats many famous names in Hollywood under nationally recognized Premier Labs owner and CEO Dr. Robert Marshall. Got a health question? Ask Dr. Medici live today on Straight Talk on Health. And now, here's Dr. Medici.
Good morning, Dr. Vincent Medici, Straight Talk on Health. I have a story today. We're going to start with a story. But before I start with the story, I want to say that I did a show last week on headaches, and I had a gentleman remark to me, and this was a gentleman with really bad neck pain. The neck pain had gone on for years. There had even been the prospect of surgery. But he didn't have headaches. And so he told me, he said, Dr. Medici, because he had come into the office, he said, you know, I listened to the show, but it didn't really grab me because I don't have headaches. Don't do that. If you listen to this show, and I start with a topic, the way this show is designed, and the way you can then focus in on very, very specific issues with people, but at the same time, teach everybody, is the art of the show. And this is a classic example. Here's this very nice gentleman that suffered from neck pain for years. He doesn't listen because the show, in his mind, is on headaches, and he doesn't get headaches. If you listen to that show, there was a tremendous amount of information on neck pain. So when you look in the archives or when you listen in on the show and you just hear the topic, I assure you that there's no topic I do. I design the show this way. There's no topic I do that isn't going to tie itself into something as it relates to you. And today's show is about people that I think generally are over the age of 70 years old. For lack of a better word, we'll call it the geriatric crowd. I think that's a terrible word. I think it's more appropriate to talk about people who are in their, you know, second phase of their life, looking for second careers, looking to finish up and tie up all the things they couldn't get to do in the earlier years because they had family and kids, because there wasn't enough wisdom to really bring to fruition all their dreams. I think that's a much better way. But in the common vernacular of the time, it's the geriatric crowd, the senior citizens. So if you're 20 years old, 30 years old, and you're listening to this show, why should you listen to a show about senior citizens? As any senior citizen will tell you when you're 20 or 30 that you're actually mortal, that there's such a word as mortality, it hasn't really occurred to you. I know it didn't occur to me until my 40s. But here's the point. This show is for you if you're 15, 20, or 30. So let me begin with a very interesting experience I had this last week. I got a call, a frantic call, from a young woman that I know, a business colleague, and she was distraught. She was almost hysterical because her beloved grandmother, who she lives with deep in the valley, and we'll define that in a moment, who she lives with and takes care of deep in the valley was what we call despondent, not responding, ebullic, not comatose, but just not quite there. And she called me frantically because her grandma, who's 99 years old, this is a key to this story. Grandma is 99 years old. And grandma's in bed and she's like she's not there anymore. And this is scary. It's scary for anybody if you love the person in that state. It's scary for that person themselves. And you don't know what's going on. And when they're 99 years old, it's complicated. There's so many things. You have to really be the Sherlock Holmes of diagnosis. You got to get in there. You really got to feel your way around. The story goes she had fallen a few days earlier on her head, cracked open her head, didn't break the skull, did not fracture the skull, but took quite a knock, quite a wallop, and we'll get into that in a moment. And she was discharged from the hospital there deep in the valley, in that Van Nuys, deep Sherman Oaks area, San Fernando Valley. Some of you know it. Some of you haven't been there in years. Some of you have never been there. Valley's a special place. Many phrases in the lingo of Los Angeles have derived themselves from the valley. Valley girls. Citrus oranges, lemon groves. I mean, there's a whole history there in the Legion history of Los Angeles that the valley, the San Fernando Valley, is very much a part of. So this girl's in trouble, and she's afraid. And I get in my car, it's after work, and I drive to the house deep in the valley. Not Ventura Boulevard, but north of it, towards the mountains. And as you go more and more towards the mountains, you go deeper into the valley. And I drive to a home, and it's an old home. And I come into the house, and momentarily I'll be introduced to Grandma, 99 years old, in this state. But I look at the house, and the house, I get nostalgic right away. Because I know these homes deep in the valley. They were built in the 20s, the 30s. They're all wood. It's not the modern architecture. It's when people really put up homes with their hands, when there was more craft in a home. And even if the home is simple, the home is connected to the earth. It's a different feeling. When a woman's 99 years old, and when she moved into that house coming from the state of New Hampshire back in the, I think, 30s or 20s, when she moved into that house, I think in the early 40s, what a house that must have been. And I'm picking all of this up, and there's hundreds of pictures on the wall. Generations of family, grandchildren, everywhere. This house has history. And so this frightened little girl takes me into this room, and there upon the bed, a simple room of a good Christian woman, is this little old woman. This cute little thing lying on the bed, shriveled like an apricot. And she's not quite present. And she's got this look on her face that I don't understand. And so I ask the young girl, I say, what is Grandma's face telling us? Oh, I think Grandma's just confused. Well, certainly Grandma was confused. Now, they had made a mistake in the hospital. You see, they discharged her, and they do what doctors tend to do. They look at old people and say they're old. They say they're 99. They say that essentially, there's nothing to complain about. If you make it to 99, if you make it to 90, if you live yourself 5 to 10 years past that age that we're all supposed to pass, well, you're on borrowed time anyway, so don't complain. And God bless the doctors, they're overworked. This is no criticism to them. They're in a system that doesn't really work that well, but that's still probably the best in the world. But lots slips through the cracks. And this is an example of someone that slipped through the cracks, partly because she is 99. So they took her into the hospital that 2 or 3 days earlier because she hurt her head, and they discharged her. They did the CT scans of the brain. They, and correctly so, and justifiably, and in the practice of good medicine, wanted to make sure through the CT scan that she wasn't bleeding into the brain. And she was not. Now here's a woman, she's on Atenolol. She's on other blood pressure meds, lisinopril. She's on a whole host of things. And you don't know in that moment if, in that she's on 3 blood pressure meds, and in that blood pressure meds are always overdosed. You know, in chiropractic school, I had a teacher, Dr. Cato. He was a pharmacologist. He owned 10 drugstores. He was about 65. He sold them all and just wanted to teach pharmacology at the chiropractic school. And I'll never forget the day he got to the subject of blood pressure. And the man was not one to share his personal feelings. He was that way. But when he got to that lecture, somewhere deep into the trimester, He admitted to us that one of the main reasons he sold his drugstores and quit was blood pressure meds. And I never forgot that. He said they are singularly most overdosed, abused medicines in medicine. And you start with one, and you're going to end up on four or five. So immediately I come in, and this little story from this teacher never I forgot. So I know she's on three blood pressure meds. And what happens very often on the blood pressure meds is that the blood pressures begin to go unstable when there are too many, or the person's not medicated correctly with the right ones, they start to go unstable. And this instability often occurs when the person starts to stand. So if you're listening to the show and you have a grandma you care about, and she's doing what? She's falling down a lot. You got to ask yourself, is she on blood pressure meds? And you got to make sure your medical doctor's on top of this. Because blood pressure meds dilate arteries. Arteries, as I've explained in the past, are always in this expansion-contraction phase. Expansion-contraction phase. When they're more on the side of expansion than contraction, which is what these meds do, they're vasodilators. When you're more on the side of expansion, sometimes the blood pressure will drop too abruptly, too fast, at exactly the wrong time. And often this is when you're moving from seated to standing, or when you turn your neck suddenly. So this is running through my head. Then, of course, there's the heart. Is the ticker conking out every now and then? How would you know if it did? How would you weigh that against blood pressure? Well, a 99-year-old heart, what is the one organ that never rests? It's the heart. Those cardiac cells. Cardiac muscle is its own special animal. Histologically, it does things that still rival any concept that we can use to understand that the heart just never stops. I mean, think of that. Everything rests. When does the heart rest? The heart and the muscles of the eye. The muscles of the eye never rest. When you sleep, they're always moving. That's why you've always got to watch little eye twitches. They signal symptoms that are portents of things to come. But muscles of the eye, one, the heart muscle doesn't rest. So you have a 99-year-old heart. What's the background? The echocardiogram, is it pumping enough blood? Is there anything, has there ever been anything on the EKG that's telling us that the heart goes haywire? Is the rhythm of the heart, the Purkinje fibers, so on and so forth, that thing that goes down when you get a pacemaker, is not the beginning of this. Now, this woman's 99, and there's nothing wrong with her heart, supposedly not in the sense of any of these things like pacemakers and congestive heart failure. She's got a good heart, as we're told, but this is how the diagnosis has to go. And then, of course, a valve. She blowing a valve. Is the aortic valve going? Is the mitral valve going? Is the pulmonic valve going? Because when the heart contracts, it pushes blood through the aortic valve. If the aortic valve is regurgitant, meaning it has a backflow of blood after the contraction, then you lose perfusion. Yeah, you can understand these things. I talk to people all week. I get them to understand this. You can understand this. You have to understand this. You understand how to put your money away. We understand politics somewhat. We can understand this much about health because it's comforting, that knowledge, that power. That power allows you to do what you're listening to me do. And believe me, it doesn't take that much. StraightTalk.cc. And what we do on this show is we compile archives, and then you listen when you can. It doesn't have to be, all right, always on the moment that we do the show. Hopefully, you get to the archive, and you listen to the show's recordings, and you study. So there we are in the middle of this diagnostic sort of a frenzy.